during the sits or perhaps that's happening, please respect the container. And when you come in for a sit, please stay for the entirety of the sit. Unless it's a physiological emergency, you have to leave. Let's respect the sits. Come in, stay for the entire sit, and no going in and out. Thank you for respecting the container for everyone. So I would like to ask you to take your seats. You can read the wonderful obituaries on the wall later. And I'd like to make a couple of announcements before we have the privilege of hearing Bhante's reflections, Dharma offering tonight. So one is that one of us has lost a hearing aid this afternoon at the 3:30 p.m. So if you happen to see a hearing aid, if you've found one, maybe the best thing to do is to leave it on the table outside and leave a note that it's been found and that's where it is, so that the person who has lost the hearing aid can see it. So the whole community coming together and supporting each other in that way. The other announcement is also in the way of offering each other support and safety. And there are folks who have physical injuries, challenges, and they have been offered and assigned a futon, and they're lying on the sides by the walls. And these futons are assigned, so please do not lie on them if it's not been assigned to you. And also please take care that you're not sitting and occupying another person's seat when their personal items, shawls, pillows. Let's be mindful and really take care of each other. The two announcements I have, invitations to take care of ourselves and each other in this way. Thank you all.
Before we start, maybe we can just spend a few minutes in silence, just to warm up calm down our mind. You know, in the monasteries or in Asia, when they start this course, they pay homage to the Buddha just to symbolize that we are here together. We are here to practice something that has been taught by the Buddha. So to pay homage is something kind of wonderful, like we are all it becomes a little bit impersonal, although it is touching us. So people can just pay homage to the Buddha. So I will just say, you don't need... Yeah, you can. We will do like in Asia. Huh? So you can repeat it. You don't need to be doing it so loud. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. So this afternoon, having written your arbitrary, is it what, how you pronounce it, the arbitrary, having written your arbitrary, you can now bury your story in the ground. And how do you feel about that? Now you got rid of that fellow, you know, who did all kinds of mistakes and all kinds of good things also, and then you're still alive. What are we doing with that? This is the question. We're here, and then we are going to investigate what remains for us to do in life. And tonight, I'd like to propose as a topic, I will try to discuss about the difference, like I am a monk, no? So the Pali, the difference between attention and mindfulness. That means the difference with the Pali is manasikara and sati. So we will see where this is going to lead us. We will also discuss about the five entrances, which, if you don't know theoretically, you surely know them practically. And then also we are going to talk about the five faculties. So we need to be very serious, but I think we have been serious enough for these last 2 days. So we will try to make it light. I am not very well organized, but I have a plan. This we shall keep to it. So one question I wrote, you know, this is my style. I wrote a lot of ideas, and then I have full of ideas to share something with you, and then I have a lot of difficulties to put them together, classify them, etc. So one idea that I've written, you know, is can we plan our death? Can we plan, really? Or where are we going to die, and then what I want after my death and everything, my obituary and everything, can we plan about that? Yes, we can plan, but the plans are never going to be really the way we are expecting it. So how do we plan? There are practical aspects like the testament and then also the way your relatives are going to treat you, etc. Or you know, so you can plan to some extent, but the plan is still something that is not necessarily the purpose of the meditation. So we need to consider, you know, what we can do, how we can prepare ourselves, but the meditation itself about Maranamusati, about meditation on death, like I'm talking from the traditional Buddhist point of view. So it is, you know, the practice of that meditation is to take us, you know, to the experience of facing the experience of death, to put ourselves in the situation to be ready to die. So it's not a plan, it's an actualization that makes us live the eventual, not the possible, the eventual experience of our death. How are we going to feel? Are we ready to feel what we are experiencing now? So we try to bring back the experience now. How do we do that? By attention. So today, you know, this is why I thought to talk about attention, because somebody today asked me, where should I put my attention? So we say, okay, now you have to think about that and many aspects of that that we presented. But in our practice, you know, what we are doing and where shall we put our attention? So this is very important. So the aspect of attention, manasikara, is the possibility and what is happening in the mind when we direct the mind to certain aspects of things. So research has been done even with the brain, that the brain is very selective and is going to take what is predominant as an object of attention. And then from this object of attention, the mind will process it and the mind will come with some conclusion about what has been paid attention to. So we have the possibility to direct our attention in different ways. We are like in a boat. So the attention is like the, you know, the thing in the back where it gives you a direction. So you can say, now I'm going here or I'm going there. So we have the possibility in life to put our attention in certain ways. This also will involves the possibility of putting our attention to everything, what we are doing, what we are thinking, the way we experience the sense impression, because we are in the world, and then the sense impressions themselves have an impact. So the way that the things impact us is very important, and the way that the things are going to impact us depends on the quality or the type of attention that we give to something. Anyway, maybe you don't understand. It doesn't matter. You practice, and then if you have questions, you know, it matters, because you need to understand what you are doing. We need to understand what we are doing. So now I'm trying to come to how the practice of meditation, of the Marana Nusati, you know, meditation on death in the Buddhist tradition, is classified among the various types of meditation, you know, that are dealing with samatha, with calmness. So what happens is that we direct our mind, you know, again and again. So it's a question of directing the mind to some object, for example. Of course, we can direct the mind to what we are doing, but here we are directing the mind to an object, a mental object, that will be the object of our attention. We have different objects. We have different subjects of meditation by which we can use them, that we can use to create some kind of perceptions, create also an impact that will be feeding us in good ways, impact that are going to make us happy, to make us alive, to make us, all the good qualities that we can have when we are happy, depends on how we are looking at things. So this meditation have the possibility to bring certain aspects of our mental potential. The meditation on death has, meditation on death, actually, it refers to a meditation subject. So it's a meditation subject which involves bringing to attention. We put our attention towards the fact that we are going to die. So thinking, putting our mind in that direction creates a certain effect, and then we direct our attention towards that. So we are thinking about that. We will see also how we can do it. We have already considered many ways. you know, that also the way that the meditation on death in the text, or at least in the commentaries, is explained is kind of very systematic, and they say that, you know, they give directions so that we don't go wrong, because there can be approaches, that there can be ways that our meditation is not succeeding. So they say, for example, that if we think about the possible death of loved one, so you love someone and then you see the person dead, you know, like a mother will think about you know, her son or her daughter dying, so, or whatever, you know. So to think about dear ones that are dying or that will die can create sorrow. So we have to be careful here that the mind does not go into too much sorrow. Here, the way we do it is a little bit different. We are inviting these emotions so that we are ready to face them. But as for directing the attention in ways that the mind is going to be balanced, the mind is going to be happy and clear with a certain also quality, then to think too much about people that we love, that are going to die, if it creates sorrow, it's not good. And then if we think about people that we don't love, you know, if we have people that we don't like in life, and we say, this guy is dead, is dying, you know, and then somehow you are very happy about it. So this is also a wrong way of thinking about us. So you have to be careful with, you know, not to fall into these two tendencies. And then there is also a third way, which is also questionable, but the possibility to reflect on that. I think it was with like the case of a person who is indifferent. So those who are working in the cemeteries and in the morgue, you know, the corpse burners and all of that, all the day they see corpse, so they don't care at all. So this is another way that is not suitable. And why is that? So here we come to the importance of how to practice this type of meditation. And the reason is that this type of attention that brings sorrow or that brings joy, you know, or that brings kind of indifference is not inviting the qualities of sati, mindfulness. So if you think in this way, mindfulness is not going to be established. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is the quality of presence. So to be really present. This is a type of attention. It's not attention. It's a quality of presence that allows you to be aware of everything. And also to be aware of your mind. So mindfulness, sati, is by itself a very specific component of that dynamic of our mind. So we have to be careful when we pay attention to that, that the fact of putting our attention somewhere, you know, like here they suggest death is going to take place, death is certain, and then we cannot escape that. This attention, so attention, we direct the mind towards some object, and then the result that we are expecting is that it creates mindfulness, it creates a quality of presence that will allow you to know or to be aware of everything. So mindfulness has to be aroused, and then also the sense of emergency. The sense of emergency, as we have described a little bit, is the immediacy, the actualization of being alive. So that is certain, and it can happen now. So what do we do? We are forced, you know, like it's like you know, like now the simile comes to mind with some trees. You have some fruit trees, and if there is a fire somewhere, or if they are at the last moment of their life, then they produce fruits or they produce flowers. So the only time that the bamboo is producing flowers is, I think, I may be wrong, I expect, I hope you don't have, we don't have botanists here. So the bamboo is going to produce flowers only when it's the last moment. If we are in that situation of actualization, that that the sense of emergency will come to us and then will tell us, now you are alive. What are your fruits? What do you want? And what can you do to get it? Alive. Do. Be aware. So sati has to be brought in. And emergency, sangvega, that means sangvega is the effectiveness, to be very effective. So it has a sense of speed also, so the way we respond. And then the third aspect also that needs to be brought in when we contemplate death is knowledge, that means wisdom. Also, it's not only that, okay, now I'm going to die and then, and then I am aware. No, not only that, but we have wisdom, we have knowledge. And then what is that knowledge going to inform us about? It's going to inform us of what needs to be done. That kind of wisdom, that kind of knowledge is important. It's not the kind of blind awareness, blind attention that is not going anywhere. It is stimulating our intelligence. So we see, we have seen, it's just people say that the great moments of suffering in life, like the wars, have created genius, isn't it? Like the atomic bomb, or just to be triggered to the max will make you produce the best that you can. So this is very important. So to be challenged, to be in a position of, this is your last chance, my person, my friend. Do what you can do now. So it's it brings the importance of actualizing what is your ideal or what needs to be done here. So when we contemplate, it's possible just to, we start our meditation and then we contemplate, the eventuality of death, and then death will come, and then death is unavoidable. So we think about this, and the way we think it, we think about it is also by remembering people who have lived. So you remember some people who have lived and then they were enjoying life and then all in a sudden at some point they just die. So we see that people are going to die. People also who have lived before have died. So it can be also the same with us. And then just that type of remembrance, so it's a meditation subject that just thinking that is going to happen, brings these qualities. And what also happens also with these meditation subjects? We have the various meditation subjects that are. That we deal with by directing our attention to specific things. So now we think about that. So then we think about that meditation subject. We have specific also objects of meditation. And then by intensifying the attention we have in regard to that, then the five hindrances are going to disappear. So if you are successful with this meditation, then the five hindrances that we are going to explain a little bit later on are going to be put away. And what is the result? The result is clarity of mind. The result is a balanced mind. The result also is just the clarity of the mind. So the five hindrances are just obstacles that stop us, hinders our possibility to see clearly. So the five hindrances also have as their opposite all the good qualities like joy, interest, and effort, and all of that. Yeah, so we'll come back to that later on. But again, you know, about how do we practice? So, of course, like now the theme, the main theme of our coming together is about how to face mortality, and then also meditation subject on death is the main object of or the main theme of the meditation. But we have to see, we have to remember also that the meditation that directs our attention specifically to something is a tool. So the tool has to be beneficial for us. We need to adjust the proper tool. We need to adjust the effort, and then, you know, consider many aspects, like a dentist, for example, or, you know, a painter will have many brushes. So you don't paint something very detailed with a very big brush, with a painting brush for the, you know, do a painting. Oh, well, some artists that are using this. So it doesn't matter as long as you, you know, that it is suitable for what you want to do. So meditation objects also are the same thing. So although our meditation is about death, we can also use other meditation subjects that are going to bring, this clarity of mind and also this peace, you know, that this balance that is necessary. For example, if we practice like in the tradition also, in the Buddhist tradition, like monastics, if they become monks, death is something that is very important, and it has to be reflected every day. But death, the thinking or the reflection on death in this context where you give your life to it or in a retreat, has also a role and in some places, the role is to protect. It is to protect your mind. And the protections that are also going to be complementary to the meditation on that will be the practice of metta. So you don't need to contemplate all the time that, because if you are always contemplating this way, you can become very, you know, obsessed or morose and depressed, because I mean, just you are just living in a cemetery, which is not very inspiring. So, what makes us alive? What made us alive is love. What is this love? Where do we get the love? So, the practice of metta, of course, again, it has some nuance, but the practice of benevolence or, you know, metta, caring, are the qualities that are very important, and also there are types of meditation. So, you know, if you don't know, I think you know that you can practice also the metta meditation. So you wish well to all beings, you wish well also to yourself, and then you take care of your body, you take care of your mind, you accept, you understand, etc., etc. And then also these good wishes are given to all human, all kinds of beings. So this is the practice of metta. This is another type of protection. A third type of protection is the Buddha Anusati. Buddha Anusati is the recollection of the qualities of the Buddha. So what does it mean, you know, psychologically? It refers to the principle that somehow in life we need an ideal. We need an ideal. So what the Buddha represents is not only an ideal, there are principles, there are teachings, and also they have been lived by people like, historic human beings. So thinking about that, you think about the different qualities or, you know, the qualities of a great human being like the Buddha gives you that kind of confidence, gives you that kind of aspiration, that kind of inspiration, that will, again, psychologically, play a big role into the way you deal with life. If you are depressed and then you don't do any, you know, you lose meaning in life, you think about qualities, you know, that has been your ideal sometime. Huh? So when you are young, we have an ideal about we create a lot of ideals. We are creating heroes also. To create heroes is very important somehow in our development. Eventually, the heroes that we are creating have to become ourselves. So we aspire, you know, to be like maybe Batman or, I don't know, or a researcher or a musician or a great person. So there is an aspiration there that gives us some kind of comfort. So when we are with ourselves, and then if we have that possibility, you know, to feed our mind with some inspiration, then we do it. So the fourth type of protection is the meditation on the non-beautiful, on the corpses and things like this. So it is just like a, you know, people who have a lot of desire for other beings, you know, by way of sensual pleasures. Then they contemplate about different aspects of the body. It doesn't mean that the body is not beautiful, the body is not a miracle, the body is not marvelous. It's amazing. It's amazing. This, a human body, or, you know, even the body of insects is just an amazing machine. So it's a marvel. But if we develop too much interest in the sense of pleasure, we fall into a pattern that can distort a little bit our perception. So if we have this tendency from time to time, we can just reflect, well, you know, it's just a corpse, or it's just a bunch of meat or something like this, so you get less interested. It doesn't mean you don't care for other people, it doesn't mean you don't have intimate relationship with the person, but you will deal more respectfully towards anybody that you are encountering. And also, you are going to protect yourself against obsession. You know, we become crazy with what we feed our mind. So, you know, if we just think about things that are not going to be very beneficial, then we are also giving, we also have difficulties. So these are the four protections, and now we pay attention to the silence. What is next? What is in our mind? What do we think? How do we think? How it is affecting ourselves now? Do we like it? We don't like it? What are we waiting for? The immediacy of the now. So this is what is important. Attention. We need to direct our attention to something that is very interesting for us. Something that is going to make us happy, interested, and fully present. So the more and more, like when we start a meditation, we need to choose also something that is appealing to us, something beautiful, if we need, beauty, or it's very important. So you think about something that interests you. So a major factor of meditation, for success in meditation, is the interest you have. So if you don't have any interest, you will not go very far into learning anything. So even with our meditation, we need some interest. So the interest is, what do we occupy our mind with? As I said, you know, there are so many things that we can talk about. Maybe you can write some questions at some point, or, you know, ask some questions. But I had you know, I look in the text, like the exeges, you know, of the Buddhist tradition, and in the recollecting that in the Visuddhimagga, for those who know about these things. And the way, like if it's not succeeding, now we come back to the meditation on that. So when we are comfortable, when we are happy, then we can put this topic, this subject of meditation, we can put it in our mind and then think about it in the way that is going to bring us, you know, the sense of emergency, the sense of mindfulness, and also knowledge, and also getting rid of the hindrances. If it's not succeeding, when we are just thinking, yes, that is unavoidable, you know, you look at the people who have died, etc. And if you are not successful, we have also other ways to contemplate death. I don't want to make you bored. Nevertheless, I will say something that may be boring. I don't know. It depends of your attention. It depends of how you perceive what I say. So it can be a very nice song, or it can be a terrible song, or it can be something. How you interpret is also important, and it depends on you. So other ways of recollecting that. So they say, they give, you know, eight different possible ways of interpreting that. And the first one is we see that as having the appearance of a murderer. Also a murderer. So you never know, you know, that someone can come and just like that, anytime. Well, we have seen that with the Beatles. Two of them got his hand like this, and then the other one was also attacked. So it can happen to us anytime. So how do we reflect about that? How do we look at that as if it was a murderer? Because, you know, the murderer appears with a sword, thinking, I shall cut this man's or this woman's head off and apply to his neck, and so death appears. So why? Because it comes with birth, and it takes away life. So as soon as we are born, then we are going to die, so there is no escape to that. So right from the very day a man has been conceived inside the womb, he cannot but go on and on. Nor going can he once turn back. So once we have gone into a way, we cannot go back. And this is it. So like the murderer who applies the sword to the neck, it carries off life and never returns to bring it back. Once it is done, it is done. That is why, since death appears like a murderer with a sword, it has the appearance of a murderer. Then the second aspect, the second way that we can give attention to death is as the ruin of success. So we see that people are, you know, success shines as long as failure does not overcome it, and success does not exist that might endure or out of reach of failure. So they give example, and then we can take example, you know, like, I don't know who died recently, the big, you know, these big millionaires, and not Joe, Bill Gates is still alive, I think. Yes. So another one, you know. Yes. Anyway, you see that the most successful person in the world is going to die. And now the person is going to die. Well, all his bank account or, you know, whatever the person has accumulated, it's not going to be it's not going to follow him. So facing death is, you know, we come alive naked. We don't have anything. And when we die, we also dying, you know, with nothing at all. So the ring of success, all health ends in sickness. All youth ends in aging. All life ends in death. All worldly existence is procured by birth, haunted by aging, surprised by sickness, and struck down by death. So a third way to contemplate death is by comparison. So we can compare ourselves to others, although it was said not to compare, you know, but as long as we are not completely enlightened, we will compare ourselves. So here, death should be recollected by, so we can compare ourselves in seven ways, and we can compare ourselves with people who have great fame, the very famous, you know, people you see in the magazines and all of that, or we can compare ourselves with people of great merit, you know, people who have been very good all the time and have won the Nobel Prize, etc. We can compare also ourselves with people of great strength, you know, I don't know, not necessarily boxers and karate guys, but people who are very strong, you know, very powerful, either politically or socially or by other means, people of great strength. Or people with great supernormal powers, because in these days they were, you know, they were aware a bit more about the psychic powers of people. So, in any case, also with people of great understanding, so the wisest people in the world, we can compare ourselves with them. And the point is that, although they had been very famous, a great following, or they had amassed enormous wealth, etc., they died. Well, it's not very complicated, no. So, I don't think I needed these papers, you know. I will. I think I am. It's ending very soon. So then, how by comparison with those of great merits? So those of great merits. So you know. So yet they came one and all to death. You know. So they all die anyway. And then how by comparison with those of great strength? So again, we come back to that, you know, even though people had great strength and supernormal power, they fell in the dreadful jaws of death. Then, how by comparison with those of great understanding? So even, you know, people who were very wise and, you know, very knowledgeable, you know, like, well, you know, I don't know. You find a name, you know, Hawkins, or so they just... you know, they fell into death's power. So what can be said of those like me who are not so bright? And how by comparison now, they compare with, ideals of Pachacamaka Buddha, you know, so it's just, you know, they compare that with the enlightened beings of all kinds. And then they say that, you know, even the Buddha, with an ideal, a supreme ideal of mankind, passed away. You see, you know, the last days where he was old, and then he had pain in the back and pain in the neck because he was seeing many people. So although, you know, such a great human beings, of course we made, you know, we created a religion around that, and we made him a god. So... but still, as a human being, he was a human being, still he passed away. So, by comparison, so death will come to me even as it did to those distinguished beings. So, another one. So, they don't laugh, you know, they have a lot of imaginations, these commenters. So, as to sharing the body with many. So, this body is shared by many. Firstly, it is shared by the 80 families of worms. So quite not bad, you know. 2,000 years ago, they could distinguish 80 families of worms. So we are sharing these things there. So the body can also be brought to death with the upsetting of these worms. So if you don't make them happy, you know, they will just eat you up. Mm. So it is also shared by several hundred internal diseases, as well as by such external causes of death as snakes, scorpions, and whatnot. Mm. So death through these accidents, can come. So in many ways, I can risk death. So it is, you know, sharing of the body with many, many types of disease, etc. And then as to frailty of life, so we can think about that as, you know, life is very fragile. So it's very fragile, you know, this life, this body is so delicate. We need to feed it with, you know, even organic food. We look all the ingredients and we are so fussy about all of that, because if we are not careful enough, we get sick. That means that the body is very fragile. We wear masks because if we are getting upset with something, then the whole body can go it can just pass away because of that. And even the posture, if we don't do enough exercises, you can become paralyzed and whatnot. No? You can die also just by not moving at all. And so we need so much of care to keep that body alive. So the body is very fragile. Mm-hmm. So here, then I don't know which number I am, but it's the last page. So death also, we can contemplate that as signless, as indefinable. So we cannot define death, meaning that it is unpredictable. We cannot predict. For in the case of all beings, the span, the sickness, and the time, and where the body will be laid, the destiny, the living world can never know these things. There is no signs, foretells when they will be. And so the span of life, we don't know. People die, you know, when they are young. People die when they are born. People die also when they are in their hundreds. This cannot be predicted with certainty. And the sickness has no sign, so you don't know when we are going to get sick. You know, you think you are going to be okay, and, well, just a disease comes and you have cancer, and next week you need to be to the hospital and you are done. Mm-hmm. So there is no signs for all these types of disease that can come anytime. And the time also of your death has no sign, because there is no definition such as one has to die only at this time, not at any other time. So some people die in the morning and at any other times, such as noon. And also, I think they don't say, but they die also in the evening. And where the body will be laid down, there is no sign, because there is no definition as when people die, they must drop their bodies only here, not anywhere else, in this cemetery, in this village, and, you know, in this. But who knows, you know, here you are not, you know, you now you are going to be buried in a spirit truck according to your arbitrary, you know, but you were not planning about that. Where the body will lay down, there is no sign. And the destiny also has no sign. What will happen after that, where you are going to go, if you are going at all. But I think that many of you have a lot of aspiration, so we'll see when it comes to that, if you are going anywhere. Mm. And as to the limitness of the extent, so now this is the last, it's not the last one, never mind, you know. As long as you think, if you think, oh, it's going to end soon, then there's no problem, you know. So as to the limitedness of the extent, so the extent of human life is short. Now, someone who lives long, you know, maybe 100 years, more or less. So this human life is short. There is not dying. There is no not dying for the born. He who lives long lives 100 years, more or less. So we should act as one whose head is burning. Death will never fail to come. So now we are ending this thing. And it comes back, you know, like a... They give the story of the teacher who asked, you know, this morning, Nikki, she said, how shall we contemplate death? And then the Buddha asked, but this also question was asked also previously by an old teacher in India. And then the answers were all the same. How do we contemplate death? We contemplate death like if I have only 2 weeks to live, or only 1 week, or, you know. And those who gave as a definition, we contemplate death as if this was our last breath and our last out-breath. In-breath, out-breath, maybe this is, you know, I breathe in, and then after that, you know, breathe out, and it stops there. But what is added here that, you know, we have not been aware of it, but they say, bhikkhus, you know, bhikkhus is the name for the monks. Bhikkhus, he was talking to his people, so when a bhikkhu develops a mindfulness of death thus, oh, let me live for as long as it takes to chew and swallow a single mouthful, that I may attend to the Blessed One, you know, to the Buddha's teaching. Surely much could be done by me. So if it was your last mouthful, or also, you know, like it follows, or let me live as long as it takes to breathe in and to breathe out, etc., that I may attend to the Blessed One's teaching. I may attend to the teaching itself. It doesn't mean that we meditate and I'm dead. I'm dead, you know, just think like this. Yeah? We think, we connect, you know, we connect to the life that is with our breathing. We breathe. Maybe this is our last out-breath. What do I need? How can I pay attention? How can I develop the good things that I want to develop? How can I do the things that I like to do by way of the teachings, by way of the Dhamma? That means why we are alive. So we are getting inspiration with the Buddha's teaching. These teachings are principles that are represented by the Eightfold Noble Path. Please, I'm sure that you are all aware of that. But remember that the practice itself is not only meditation. Like, meditation is a big deal to do, but everything, you know, the our ethics, the way we talk, the way we do things, the way we make a livelihood, the way we deal with people is very important. So if it was our last breath, and then this is the last thing that I have to say, I have to be very careful, like the fox. Yeah. They will tell you about it. So, you know... So if it was the last moment that I am alive, you never know. You are not necessarily going to end up in your, you know, in your meditation, lying down in meditation or sitting down in meditation. You may end up when you are talking with somebody. Like, there is a story, just to change a little bit the way that I am talking. There is a story of it was in the war, you know, the last war, and it's a story of two young Jewish kids, and it's the sister, she may be 15 years, you may know the story, but still, you know, just to remind ourselves about that. So the sister maybe, 15, and then she is with her small younger brother, and he may be 6 or 7, I don't know, and they are waiting, for the train that is going to take them to Auschwitz, to this concentration camp. And so they are waiting. So at some point the train comes, and then they open the door, and then the soldiers take them in. And somehow, little boy, on the station had, he had removed his shoes. So when they had to rush, because they were forced to go as fast as possible in the wagon, the little kid, he forgot his shoes on the station. So when they were on the train, then the sister looked at her brother and she says, "What have you done with your shoes? Where are your shoes?" I mean, in this time, the shoes were very important. So she just scolded him, just treat him like a fool, like, "You stupid little boy, you cannot take care of your things." And, so she was very upset with him. Mm-hmm. So when they reached the destination, then they were taken apart, and the little boy was taken to a gas chamber, I think, and the girl, she survived somehow. So throughout her life, she always regretted the way that she had treated her brother. So that emergency, that sense of immediacy, that we need to be aware of in the present moment, will help us to respond in any situation in the best way that we can respond to it, by way of speech, by way of action, and by way of thoughts also. What are we thinking if we are to die now? Will we happy? Will we happy to be with this state of mind? The way we are thinking about all kinds of crazy things, are we going to be happy if we are just upset with something? And how will we be, if we are to die now with this state of mind? So this is why the sense of emergency asks us, can you do something about your state of mind if you are angry or if you are, all kinds of wrong type of emotions? So this is the point, that the Buddha's teaching has many levels and also has to be applied everywhere. And again, now I am ending. And the point, is that the meditation on death is related to the way we pay attention to things. So we are thinking about it, and then the eventuality of death. This type of orientation, of attention towards this meditation subject, brings us mindfulness, brings us a sense of emergency, and also brings us knowledge and wisdom. So this sense of emergency, this sense of mindfulness, will be grounding us right here and now. What's happening when we are closing our eyes and then we are just alone by ourselves in our room or sitting here? We see a lot of all kinds of crazy things. And then, we are the result of what we have been feeding ourselves. So there are many hindrances, many obstacles also that can come along the way. So we need to be aware of these obstacles. Now we have no time to go through them, but just basically is that we can just be obsessed with sense desire and all kinds of fancy things, and then, or we can be very upset with what is opposing that. Okay, now I'm going to die, and then I'm going to lose all these sense pleasures, or then we get angry, and then we get upset with the things that doesn't work, and so second type of mental hindrance, the anger or hatred or ill will. Then the third one is we get bored or thinking about that, so boring, and then you start to, you just fall asleep and, you just distract yourself in one way or the other. The fourth type of hindrance is agitation and worry. So you think, you regret about what you should have done, what you should do, and you get very agitated. The fifth type of hindrance is the doubt. So you are doubting, oh, no, what am I doing? And you are not sure about anything. Huh? So if you have doubts, ask questions and then clarify your thing. Try to know what you are doing and why you are doing it by way of your practice. These five hindrances have to be faced because this is a fact. So what do you do about it? This is a big deal. No? How you are going to face your own obstacles, even sorrow or grief, this is something that needs to be accepted. Oh, it's an experience. All these things are connected also somehow to the five hindrances. So note what's happening with your mind, whatever is happening. Are you getting upset? Are you getting impatient? Are you getting excited or worried or doubtful or lustful or whatever it is? Look, this is mindfulness. Has the possibility to give us clues of what is happening in our mind. So the quality of our mind, when we are doing things, are going to be known. Huh? They are going to be observed. So we allow ourselves to observe whatever manifests itself to the mind. We need to understand them. So the hindrances, the obstacles, we need not to say, oh, no, I should not think about this, or you know, should not be angry. No, if you get angry, or if you get upset, impatient, or sorrow, then you need to look at it. You need to look at it. You need to observe it, and then from the observation you will have with that, by accepting, by caring, then understanding is going to happen, and then you will get out of it. So, you know, basically, you know, the entrances are something that is. That are important to consider on our path because they are part of our practice all the time, you know. So it's a big deal to be able to be knowing them and how to deal with them. So also aspect of reflection, you know. So now, you know, it's finished. So aspect of reflection, so we need to reflect also sometimes. We can reflect about how we have done things and then what can be done, even in regard to our meditation. So we see, okay, like today we can reflect about what we did today. Huh? So today we share some things about our observatory. So what was the effect of it? Huh? So we can reflect to see how what things we did, and then which effect it brought to us. And then by reflecting, by being able to reflect, then we can also put the conditions that we will be able to adjust ourselves to a new situation because we had the possibility of reflecting. So reflecting is, again, it's a possibility to bring your attention in the past or to bring your attention in the future, and it's a possibility just to use it as a mirror to situate you inside the present moment. Like you are going in a car, the mirror is going to give you the information about what has been happening in the back, what you have in the back, and then looking in the front is going to tell you where you are going. And then the idea, the thing is like what you are doing now. So now we are driving, now we are on the journey. Every moment we need to be aware, you know, with some kind of quality, and reflection is part of the thing. Maybe I will end up with a joke. Yeah, I don't know if you heard the joke, but it's just a little bit funny. Again, a story, you know, from the Jews, and it's in a house, you know, and then you have the grandpa. He is on his bed dead, you know, grandpa on his bed dead, and then you have his little granddaughter that comes to him, you know, and just looking, and you have a party, like you have many friends and relatives in the house, oh, so there is something special, and so, but still, you know, the grandpa is alone in his room, and you have the daughter there, so at some point the grandfather, you know, he smells the kitchen because the Jews, they like to cook, especially the mother, you know, they really like to feed their kids. Also, he smells the good thing in the kitchen. And he asks the daughter, just tell me, you know, what they are cooking in the kitchen and bring me something. So the little daughter, she goes in the kitchen, and then after a few minutes, she comes back, and the father, the grandfather asks her, "So, what is there?" And the girl, she says, "Well, mommy is cooking the strudel, strudel. Yeah, mommy is cooking a strudel." So the grandpa says, "Well, can you bring me some?" So the daughter, she says, "But the strudels are for after the funeral." So before we die, no, before we to live, we need to die somehow, you know. So this is what we learned. So please, you know, just I am sorry if I have been a little bit too long. So, maybe you can walk a little bit, and we can come back, you know, at 9 o'clock and have a few minutes together again.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.